We'll have our scripture reading at this time. Thanks, Jess.
The scripture reading today is from Psalms 85, 1 through 13. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God, the Lord, says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness brings forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps.
Amen. Thank you. Psalm 85. See, I titled the message, Receive and Release. And that would mean something different for each and every one of us. It means something different for each and every church. But we've heard an example and testimony from Tuesday. 170 meals prepared. Individuals working together to serve. And people came to receive. And they received and they ate and there's fellowship. And even after they ate, and even with the fellowship, it continued. They didn't get up and run out. They didn't get up and run to the next thing. They sat around those tables. And it is a blessing to have the opportunity to talk with them and get to know them and see them month after month. It's always amazing to hear that as they get to coming and sharing and things that we talk about, they remember from the previous month. And they bring it back up the next month. And it's always a blessing to hear the many that say, we're going to come sometime. What time service start? If I come 10 o'clock, will there be enough, will there be a seat for me? Will there be room? The world has those type of questions about the church. And these baby steps of them coming to get to know you and me and be in fellowship with other neighbors of the community. Baby steps. The Lord knows each and every intention of all those baby steps. Love is required. Love is necessary. Love must be present to receive and to release. There's a father, his name was Phil, his last name was Little Ford. He took his son with him on an Alaskan fishing trip. Went with two other men on this trip in a quest to find some running salmon. They flew their little seaplane to a secluded bay. The fishing was everything they had dreamed of. It was perfect, a perfect location, perfect setting, perfect weather, and the fish were perfect. When they had finished their day of fishing, the plane now, because of the tide, was setting on dry ground. The tide that goes in and out had left the plane 23 feet away from the water. So what do? You take time for dinner. You start a fire, you get those fish out, and you sit there and you fellowship around that meal. Everyone began, had a nap, and after a few hours, they awoke and the tide had come in, and now the plane was floating once again. They cranked up the engine and ready to head home. But here, one of the pontoons on that seaplane had got a hole in it and took water, had filled up with water and that when the water came back up, that extra weight of that water caused that seaplane to crash within moments. Within moments. There was no landing, there was no stopping, there was no wait a minute to jump out. But yet they all survived there in the water. They had no safety equipment with them. They used their boots to try to float and use as floating devices to keep under them. But the water was frigid, and it was a deadly threat. The current was strong in the movement of the water. The two other men, they fought their way against the current, and they made their way to the shore. But Dr. Little Ford and his 12-year-old son could not swim against the current. The two survivors looking out helplessly to their friend and to his son, seeing them get swept away farther and farther, but they seen them arm in arm, clinging to each other. The Coast Guard shows up, and they reported that probably just within an hour or so, because of the freezing waters, hypothermia would have set in, chilling the functions of the body and put them to sleep. The son, his name was Mark, with his smaller body, would fall asleep first, and he would die in his father's arms. The father could have made it to shore, but that would have meant abandoning his son, leaving his son behind. But he chose to die with his boy. God cares that much about you and your family, this community, this church, the ministry that he has planned before each and every one of us. And nothing can be done without love. Nothing can be accomplished without love. Verse 12, what did it say? The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Can you give testimony to the fact that the Lord is good? That the Lord has been good to you, and the Lord's been good to this church. That the Lord is so good and so giving that the blessings abound. But we struggle to remember to even say a thank you. We struggle to have gratitude. We struggle to live with an inner sense of appreciation or contentment or satisfaction. Do you know what would be really, really, really bad? If we had to go through each and every day, and if we had to try to catch our blessings, could you imagine that? If you had to catch your blessing, you had to go here and there just to try to catch it, would you be able to catch one? Would you even know where it was coming from to know to be there to catch it? I'm sure the pastor would get all kinds of complaints, and the parishioners would be crying, and they just, we can't catch our blessings. That wouldn't be fun, would it? To think that we would have to run around and try to catch our blessings. Have you heard of the phrase catch and release? A term from the Department of Wildlife. You know that there's this Fish and Boat Commission, and they said, and I quote, every angler should expect and be prepared to release some portion of his catch. Catch and release has become a popular and preferred method of angling, end quote. And they even go and they give 11 guidelines. 11 guidelines. You know, Methodists have all kinds of guidelines, but the world has all kinds of guidelines as well. To down to the point of the Fish and Boat Commission. Number one, use a barbless hook so that the hook can be removed quickly. Reel your catch in quickly to reduce stress on the fish. Use a landing net with fine mesh to keep the fish from flopping around in the boat or on the ground. Keep the fish in the water as much as possible. Wet your hands before touching the fish so the mucus of the fish won't be wiped off. Hold the fish upside down to remove the hook. Have long needle-nosed pliers ready to use for a hook removal of the hook. If the hook is swallowed, cut the fishing line off as close as possible to the hook. Don't touch the gills. Cradle the fish. Use your thumb, if it's a bass, to hold the mouth open and the lower jaw. Do not throw the fish into the water. Lay it down and let it swim away. Fish that are bleeding from the mouth and gills indicate your catch and release techniques need to improve. I'm serious. That's the 11 guidelines from Fish and Boat Commission. If the fish is bleeding from the mouth or gills, this indicates your catch and release techniques need to be improved. Anything you need to improve on? Anything that the church needs to improve on? Catch and release is a part of fishing. To receive and to release is also a part of the Christian life. It is a part of your Christian life. God gives and God expects us to be prepared to release some portion of that gift. But we have to recognize what we've been given. We have to be able to recognize the opportunities. We got to recognize what we have received and the value of what we received before we can give anything away. So who is the provider? God is the provider. Jehovah Jireh, provider of all things. And this Psalm 85 is a prayer, a restoration that is needed. It is also a celebration of God's blessing upon the land. It can not just be land, but that can be a business, church, a family. But God's blessing. It's also a request for this restoration and revival. It is also the expectation that God will act soon. And it just explains so much. You know, as Christians, when we pray, when you pray for restoration, we better be ready. We better be ready to trust God and know that when he restores something, he restores it better than what it was. When we get back to the Lord and when we help others in the name of Jesus, we need to be ready again to trust God. Trust God, knowing that he has supplied what we're giving, but that he's going to give again so that we can repeat the process. Repeat the process again and again and again. Receive and release with hands and a life that are hook free. Is that possible? Is that even possible for us Americans in this day and age to get, to receive and to release without some hook? You know, you think about that fish hook, you know, with that barb, you know, once it gets in there. I think more of the hay hook. You ever physically baled hay and use on the wagon? The bales would come up that little chute and get on that wagon. You take that hay hook, you grab that bale, you pull it back, you grab one string, you use your hook, it helps you pick it up and stack those bales. I think some of us like to have that hay hook because it's about this big, big hook like that. I think that's a little better image than this little fish hook. We receive, and then we try to release, but then we come up with this little hook. Oh, yeah, don't forget where that came from. Oh, yeah, don't forget we got to do this, X, Y, Z. Oh, don't forget this is an expectation. But where does that say that in Scripture? I don't think that's how Jesus operates. As it says in verse 6, the question to ask, will you, Lord, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? When we pray for revival, God's mercy of unending love is released. He wants to release this mercy of love so that we would be revived. And when we receive this love, when we receive a divine care, when we receive holy blessings, we don't just rejoice, gather up our bag and say, hey, I'm out of here. No, we rejoice, we receive, and we notice, oh man, there's somebody that could use a little something. There's somebody else that could use a helping hand. There's someone that needs a visit or a prayer or a hug or a handshake. Do you know, have you realized that to help, to support, to give, to reach out to others is not meant to be stressful? It's not meant to be stressful. It's not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be an act of love in the name of Jesus. Have you ever visited someone and say, I sure wish I hadn't visited them. Oh man, that sure was a waste of time. No. You say, I'm glad my schedule was full, but I still stopped what I was doing and I went and visited. They needed me. They needed that visit. They needed that phone call. Parents, children, church family, your neighbor. It's important that we listen to the Holy Spirit when He's nudging us to do these things. And it's not meant to be stressful. We make it stressful because we say, I don't want to stop what I'm doing and pull in the driveway and say hi to my neighbor. Oh, my neighbor's at their mailbox. I don't want to roll my window down because he don't know when to quit talking. Oh, there's the neighbor coming. Everybody duck. You know what I mean? Because we can laugh about it. And it says in verse 8, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return folly. To receive and to release, we have received. What we have received requires us to listen to God. Requires us to listen to God, requires us to react and listen to the Holy Spirit. When he's trying to move us, we need to move. When we listen to God, it says he promises peace. We don't walk away from that visit or that conversation that was along the road or with that neighbor or with someone. We don't walk away in more turmoil. We walk away, oh, the Lord was there. The Lord was in that. That person needed that, but I needed that feedback and talk from them as well. As we think about these things, it ties right in to our stewardship as well. When we listen to God about our giving, our tithing, the monetary gift, whatever it is, however it is, whatever it might be for you, it's for the Lord. It's what the Lord's asking of us, asking of you. Not to put a hook in it, well, they do this, I'm not giving to church anymore. This happens, they're not going to see another penny out of my pocket. If they do that again, I'm not. That's when our eyes are on the wrong thing. That's when we've gotten our eyes off the Lord and the ministry that he's called us to. Just think if the God would say that. Oh man, if you say that one more time, I'm not, you know, as parents, you know, you charge your kids. You do that, or for every toy or dirty clothes under your bed, you're going to pay me a dollar. Just think if God operated in that way, we'd all be in a lot of debt, wouldn't we? My kids never get caught up paid with me, so I got a lot of IOUs. God is gracious and merciful. But we also are given this warning. But for those who do not listen to God, God will not continue. He will not continue to appreciate unruly, unlistening children. He does not bless those that live a life that will not be totally faithful. Yes, they may have a lot of blessings according to the world, but there's still that emptiness. Let's not be of the world. Psalm 85 instructs us to trust God and to remain faithful. Trust God and remain faithful. Say that. Trust God and remain faithful. And what happens when you trust and when you remain faithful? We are on the way. We are on the way to righteousness. And righteousness is found how many times there in those four verses? Do you see that word a few times? It appears. Righteousness is described. Righteousness is alluded to. And the coming of the kingdom of God is there as well. God, His one and only sinless Son, our Savior, King Jesus, He will come again, and He will be here soon. So as the body of Christ and as the church, that's what God wants us. He wants us to live and to work in that state of righteousness. And He wants us to be in that state of righteousness and find ourselves there, as it says in verse 10, where love and faithfulness meet together, where righteousness and peace kiss each other. New King James Version says it this way: mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. Being a godly church, living in a state of righteousness. Our whole being, our intellect, our heart, our resources, our passion, the ministry. I pray for the Lord to lead us in this way. Let us pray. Father God, I pray for the life of your church here on earth. Lord, I pray that there would be a coming together of your mercy and truth, of your righteousness and your peace. For there is no way for peace to be in the world unless it begins in the heart of us, the individuals, your church, your disciples, your followers, the believers of Jesus. Only there will peace begin, righteousness would take hold, and truth and mercy be experienced by those around us. So, Father God, I ask that you would continue that holy work and continue to blend your truth and your righteousness into our lives, that we can live with anticipation and excitement for eternity, that the day will come when your kingdom will be our home. And Father God, we are reminded of the holy work that is before us. There's the old saying that if we catch them and God cleans them. So Father God, I pray that we would be a church that the love of Christ would catch them, that the love of Christ the world would catch, and you'll do the rest. So Lord, you have equipped us. We have received your word. Now release us into this community with the love of Christ, for the world to see that love in all that we say and do, to one or to many. It doesn't matter, as long as it's in the love of Christ. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.